How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You are listening to the internet's only Saskatchewan's wearing their Sunday best podcast. I am Joel Gasson with John Fraser as usual. Here we are. We get to talk about Saskatchewan Rough Rider football for at least another week. As on Saturday afternoon into the evening, the Riders, I wouldn't say thoroughly beat down the BC Lions, but handled business with relative ease.
Yes.
A few ups and downs, but that's to be expected in a playoff game. Instead of, you know, we talked about it during the game with some people, I was like, this is kind of how a playoff game goes, right? Like, it's rarely smooth sailing for one team. There's always ups and downs. Everything kind of flips back and forth a few times. At least that's how a good playoff game should go. So that kind of did happen, but I would say for most of the second half, the Riders made sure, while they weren't necessarily in complete control the whole time, they did make sure that the Lions didn't get ahead at any point and have to play from behind, which is what they did. And they secured the victory, so we will, of course, talk about their big West semifinal win over the BC Lions. We will talk about some great decisions from head coach Corey Mason that game. We've been a little harsh on him at times this year for some of the decisions that he's made, so it's only fair to discuss when he, frankly, pushed every button correctly in that game. And we will look ahead as well to the fourth meeting of the year between the Bombers and the Riders, this time for all of the marbles in the West Final, as the winner, of course, will then go on to the Grey Cup to play either the Montreal Alouettes or the Toronto Argonauts in the Grey Cup.
Right. And it really was like, and it's funny, like watching that game, there are games that are blowouts that you know the team is never threatened.
Yeah.
And there are close games that if you're watching, like if you just check the score, you'd be like, oh, okay, hey, this is a close battle, I should tune in. But if you're watching the game itself, you're like, it would take something disastrous for Saskatchewan to win this game. So, lose, pardon me. I'm already here. Here I am already. We're like 2 minutes in, and I'm already trying to work the Fraser curse voodoo ahead of the game against my Winnipeg Blue Bombers this weekend. But
yeah, we can get into it in a bit. But I feel like once they got the wind at their back in the fourth quarter, I was fairly confident they were going to win that game. They just had to survive the third, which they did.
But to get into the Sunday best thing here, and I know you usually drop a line that makes me laugh at the beginning of every one of these episodes, and people are probably going, okay, Joel said Sunday best. It's not that funny, right? All seven of our listeners. Well, let me tell you, once you know the context of this story, like Joel Gaston's about to give, you will understand why we are the Sunday best podcast.
Mm-hmm. So this morning, we were recording this on, this Sunday afternoon. So this morning, we dropped one of our cars off to get the winter tires put on. And we've decided as well that we needed another baby gate in the house because we've determined that Caden's probably needs a little more free space to roam around and explore in this point in her life.
Yep.
So after we dropped the car off, we went to Walmart.
As one does.
To, you know, kind of check things out there. We decided to go with one we saw online. But we figured out we're out anyways. Might as well go take a look. And we're walking down the aisle towards, you know, towards the back of the store by the baby area. And there's this guy in a sweater. And it's got a logo on it. And it, from afar, I could tell. I'm like, okay, this is clearly, you know, the outline of a website that John Fraser likes to frequent.
The familiar black and orange. If
yeah.
You all know what I'm saying here.
Of the foreign films. And
yes. I forgot that for a second. The number one spot for foreign films with black and orange and white in the logo. So, it catches your eye.
Yeah, so I'm looking, I notice it, I'm like, okay, but, you know, there's thousands of, you know, phrases and knockoffs of this logo for whatever you could imagine at this point, quite frankly.
One of my favorites I've seen is farmers wearing ones that say corn hub
mm-hmm.
with a stock of corn.
Yeah, there was nothing on this besides the logo. And so we're getting a little closer to this guy, and I'm like, oh. That is actually the logo of the website. He's not at Walmart by himself.
That's even better.
He is there with someone else and a child. I am presuming this is either A, his daughter and his grandchild, because he was a little older, or his partner and his child. I don't know. I didn't ask. It doesn't really matter. Hey, whatever you do on your own time in your own home, I do not care.
Right.
This is not a judgment on what the man does at home.
No.
Frankly, it's not even really a judgment on what he's wearing. I was just actually stunned to see the legitimate logo out in public on what looked actually to be a pretty nice sweater as well.
So two things. A, if that doesn't encapsulate how good everybody's feeling in Regina this morning, that you felt like looking through all your wardrobe options, you went, yeah, I'm going to wear that sweater out. Okay. So that's the first. That's what the vibes are like down in your neck of the woods in this province tonight, or this morning. Second, the numerous times I have visited my favorite foreign film site, I have never noticed a shop.
Yeah.
I mean, so now, fair. Now, as that time comes during the evening, when I'm alone in my boudoir, I'm going to have to look. It would be a nice change of pace, because, like, right now, it always laughs when people complain about their targeted advertisements on their social media, because you know that's been created by
you.
Exactly.
I mean, you can fool around with your settings so that, like, it doesn't track that for that purpose, so you can just have random ads, but yeah.
But it's still, I've got some of that off, but,
yeah.
Still quite often.
Or you're just on Twitter where there's like the same four ads for the same, like, what is it these days? Like these weird games. That's all I'm seeing these days.
oh, you're seeing weird games?
On Twitter. Twitter specifically.
And I'm also talking Twitter specifically.
Okay.
I am seeing constant ads for OnlyFans merch.
Mm. Merch.
Not even like
subscriptions, just merch.
Right. Hey, big guy. Hey,
girl. I mean, John Cena's on there, isn't he?
Right. Yeah, a lot of the kids. Maybe, okay.
There are legitimate people on there not doing the thing you think they're doing on there as well.
Okay, maybe it's because I interact with John Cullen, who's a comedian, that they try to point me towards the cooking, the comedy side of OnlyFans, which then turns into merch. So,
yes, and not the fact it must be that, yeah.
That's totally it. Yeah, yeah. It's my friendship with John Cullen and supporting his projects.
Yeah, we'll blame that.
Totally not my love of corn.
And I mean, it's just it just floored me because you always hear of like the people of Walmart, and it's like it's one of those things where I'm fairly certain, at least it's generally not as pronounced in Canada as it is in the United States.
No.
Because I think in Canada, you generally see all walks of life in Walmart.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was definitely one of those times where I'm like, okay, yeah, this was like my first that I can remember, like legitimate encounter with a person of Walmart. Because that is, I couldn't imagine seeing that sweater out in the wild anywhere else.
Now, the only thing that does disappoint me.
Yep.
Is you have painted a beautiful mental picture, but you didn't manage to get the creep shot because once
I wasn't going that far.
Oh no, I went that far once. We were at flag football and the guy in front of me had one of those like weird targeted Facebook shirts.
Mm.
And it was like
the, I'm a this, but this, 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 this.
I'm a man born in November. If I lead, follow. If I die, avenge me. Like, no bullshit. That's exactly what this thing was. Like, bro, it's 10 in the morning. We're all hungover. It's flag football on a Sunday here. Calm it down. But I guess men in November are very brave, and you should follow them.
Apparently. I don't know.
But I did get the creep shot. I don't think I ever sent it to you, but I...
No, I've never heard this story, so...
Well, there are there's like one or two things maybe I keep from your gas.
I mean, that's fair. I'm sure there's things I don't tell you either, so I mean, that's fine.
And these are the stories that come up either during this this podcast, which is 60% Subway Lettuce, or whenever we're a little piled up after a men's Bondsville game.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you are now the spokesperson for the Lettuce Council, so...
I have accepted that offer among many others, but not to but yes, I certainly have not. The other podcast that was photoshopped on there, I can assure our 7 listeners, maybe 8 some days, that I'm not going anywhere. No.
Not to there at least.
That's fair. That's fair.
We do have the West final to talk about, the West semifinal to talk about. Before we get into everything else, though, we'd be remiss if we did not congratulate the University of Regina Rams and the University of Saskatchewan Huskies for big upset wins in the Canada West playoffs this weekend. They will be playing each other in the Hardy Cup next weekend in Saskatoon. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be interesting, as it's going to be a very, very busy Saturday for football fans in this province. Of course, the Riders will be playing in the West final, and that game will be going on up at the U of S. So it's going to be something. The only downside to that, it's just too bad that the winner of that game was not playing the AUS this year.
No, you actually have to face a real opponent this year. You don't get the freebie against, you don't get to go and, get a little warm-up practice against an AUS team that shouldn't even be there. But I have my thoughts, and we'll save those for another day.
Yes, we will get to that point if maybe next week we may have time to talk about it, depending, and especially should one of these teams go on to... perhaps get to the Vanier Cup. I mean, stranger things, I suppose, have happened.
It's true. And although I don't know we'll have time, because the Riders are inevitably going to crush the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's possible. It's possible. We'll get into that, but it's possible.
Fraser curse, baby.
Of course, as we are recording this in the afternoon, for the Pile of Bones Brewing Company this week, we are both enjoying a coffee right now, but I can say... Last night, after I got home from the game, I did finally get to try this year's Saskatchewan collaboration brew.
Yep.
So that's the, all the breweries and across the that are part of the Saskatchewan Craft Brewers Association come in. They brew a beer. They do it every year, basically as a fundraiser for the association. And this year's was brewed out at Nokomis. They made a Dunkelweizen, and that's pretty good, which is basically like a Hefeweizen but darker. So think if you tried like a black IPA from Rebellion or Pile of Bones, they probably make the two best in the province.
Yes.
And Nokomis is pretty good too, I should say as well. Think something along those lines, dark and a little bit citrusy, but not like nearly as hoppy because it's not an IPA.
Right. So it's like the kind of dark that a guy like me that's not very into stouts would like.
Yes, you would probably enjoy it. I don't know if it would be like black IPA level good for you, enjoy it, but I think you could drink one without hating it, I'm pretty sure.
Well, so. Certainly. And actually, I ran into, was at the liquor store, and Adam from Pile of Bones was doing a little sampling tour up here in Saskatoon. I had a great conversation with him. We talked about some different beers that I was grabbing for the evening, one being the Hibiscus Lime Gose for a nice change of pace beer, but I had a moment where, unlike the man in Walmart this morning, I wanted to hide from glaring eyes, so I went in, I had this great conversation with Adam, sampled some of the Pink Boots, of course had a sample of white IPA, because if somebody's going to give you free white IPA, you don't say no. And then I go into to the beer cooler, and I'm like, shit, there's a man here who sponsors my podcast, and I have been sent to get a 2-4 of Bud Light along with whatever I'm drinking. So I like did the like sneak all the way around the long side so he wouldn't see me with the 2-4 of Bud Light, but with also the 4 cans of Hibiscus Lime Gose. So Adam, if you did happen to catch that on my way out, that was for my wife. And that actually, we can all confirm that that was in fact for Lacey.
Yes. I mean, we've been there numerous times. I'm well aware of your wife's palate for beer. So that's not shocking. I'm surprised you had to get a whole 2-4. You probably could have just snuck out with like an 8-pack or something and no one would have noticed.
True. But we had a lot of friends coming over on Friday night. So that
fair
was,
enough. Fair
you know,
enough.
You don't want to, as much as I would love to just fill the beer fridge for everybody with craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's only $46 for a whole shitload of Bud Light. So it's had to be done.
I suppose. People may be filling their fridges across Saskatchewan this week.
Ooh.
As the Riders will be traveling to Winnipeg on Saturday, as they will play in the West Final for the first time since 2021, when they then lost to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers then as well. And they will be attempting to do what no team has done since 2018, and that's have someone else other than the Bombers win the West Final.
That's fair. It's been a nice little stretch, hasn't it?
It's and like mathematically, you think it's going to catch up to them eventually, but we won't know when until it actually happens. Before that, though, of course, they had to get through the BC Lions in the Western semifinal, and they did that on Saturday. It was looking a little dicey at times, but at the end of the day, the Riders proved that they were the better team, as they did all season. I think I do believe the Vernon Adams bump in that game was real. You saw more of a fight, more of a will to play from the BC Lions in that game, but there just wasn't enough in the tank for them to really get them over the hump to beat to even come close to frankly beating the Saskatchewan Roughriders in that game. I think the gap between them had just become too big. I think it was clear what happened in the second last week of the regular season for them, you know, sort of thumping Montreal was more so Montreal traveling across the country for a meaningless game and mostly packing it in. That's kind of what helped that game get out of control, I think, a little bit, and maybe inflated the hopes and dreams of BC Lion fans and Rider haters just a little bit from that experience. But overall, I mean, the Riders played a pretty good game. It's hard to nitpick too much on what they did poorly. I thought the offense moved the ball pretty well at times. The defense was very bend but don't break, but didn't really break other than a couple of times, which one of them wasn't really in their control all that much after the punt.
Well, and you're right. A big part of the bend but don't break, you know, you generally think of a team that gives up big chunks of yardage, but that wind was such a factor that you're either starting with a short field because the wind's in your face, or it's real easy to air the ball out, as that was proven throughout the entire night. So
yeah, no, I mean, the play of the game turned out to be the coin toss, and luckily for the Riders, they won the toss. And I mean, it was a pretty easy decision, but we've seen coaches kind of not think about the wind at times.
Yep.
But we were all talking about it at halftime, and it was like, you got to take the wind in the fourth quarter here, right? Like, you kick off to BC again. And the 100%. Resounding answer within the press box was yes. And Corey Mace agreed. And I thought of the entire season that was by far Corey Mace's best coached game as a head coach. He pushed all of the right buttons. Every decision was the right one, even in situations where it didn't work out. Yep. They were still the right calls to make. You can't fault the decision when execution fails. And that's kind of what happened on a couple of them. There was obviously the punt that led to the touchdown. There was some discussion about whether they should concede two.
Never.
But the answer there is, of course, never. And in that situation, especially, like, they weren't on their 1 yard line. They were at just below their 10 somewhere, I believe. And they would have gained like 7 yards moving up to give up 2 points. And that is not worth 2 points.
No.
It just compounded the fact that the punt went wrong. They got called for no yards. So then, it made it fairly easy for BC to score a touchdown. But, you know, most of the time when you do that, you kick there, the other team's getting a field goal, whether you give up the 2 points or not. So you basically stick to giving up 3 instead of 5. It didn't work out, c'est la vie. And there was also, of course, the 3rd-and-1 attempt at their own 49, which Shea Patterson did not pick up. The football got smiled on, though, as Sean White got a second doink of the game.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And made sure that the Riders didn't give up any points for the decision. The play call, certainly we can question, you know, why A.J. Ouellette wasn't out there like he was on his touchdown earlier in the game in short yardage. But the decision itself was still the correct one. Execution just failed them a little bit. But there was obviously some much bigger decisions that were the right ones that worked out really well. And I think obviously the biggest one was opting to take the win in the fourth quarter. And that meant, okay, so they kicked off to start the game to the Lions. They kicked off to start the second half for the Lions. And the second half thing could not have gone any better.
No,
they kick off, they get the two and out, and then the offense comes right back down and scores a touchdown. Like, that is like dream scenario in that. You get yourself a pretty decent lead. So now all you really have to do is hang on through the third quarter to get that wind at your fourth and put this thing away.
Well, and to me, decisions like that always say, you know, you have trust in your defense. Right.
Yep.
Corey Mace is not doing that if he doesn't trust his defense. And he does. And to me, that fires the guys up. And you saw it immediately when Corey Mace made that decision. And as well, it ended up being so significant because you had just seen, too, the Shea Patterson punt up into the wind with, yeah, the 15 yards tacked on didn't help. But you could see what that wind was doing, right?
Yep.
You knew it was going to be such a big factor that not only from the strength of it, but like how it was swirling. Like, Sean White does not miss kicks. And Sean White was missing kicks.
Well, the ball was sailing. The one that he made going towards the Maxtron, which was like the way it was blowing. Like, you saw it goes through the uprights, then hits a hard turn.
Yeah, it was absolutely wild. Like,
the one that really sticks out to me in terms of how wild the wind was. There was a play in the fourth quarter, I believe, where Vernon Adams was kind of running around a bit, flushed out, and then he tried to hit one of his receivers in the flat.
Yes.
And the ball almost blew it backwards into a lateral.
Yes. and it was funny watching on TV. I don't know if maybe they didn't have such a good sense up there for it, but that play, you know, that was 100% wind, and they were trying to put it on VA a little bit, and I don't think that was on VA. No, Corey Mace was excellent, and you and I have always praised him as a human, him as a leader, him as a coach, but him as a decision maker. He's shown that he's a rookie, right?
Yep.
And to me, to not get rattled by the fact that you failed on a third and one with Shea Patterson, right? When they went for it with A.J. Ouellette directly under center, I texted you instantly. I'm like, I love that play.
Yeah, like, and I love the way they handled it, especially like right away. Like, they knew they were there and they knew they had BC in a tough package to defend it. So they wanted to rush to the lines, and then a line happened to get hurt in that moment in time. But
yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so like they had that ready. They were ready for it, and they had the Lions in the package that they wanted to try to rush it, but they couldn't get it. So it's just little things like that that you could tell the coaching staff was on the ball in that game.
Yeah. And then add in the call for the 2-point convert to make it a 2-score game.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved the play call. Loved everything the coaching staff did this week. I mean, the aggressiveness. And that's what you're going to have to do against Winnipeg, because Winnipeg's been there before. Winnipeg's not going to be phased playing in the West Final, right?
No. There's nothing that can happen in that game that's going to sort of throw them off course or sort of send them into a panic, short of Zach Collaros and Brady Oliveira and Stanley Bryant all getting hurt on the same play or something.
No, you're absolutely right. But I mean, hey, I've got my own thoughts on Zach Collaros starting that game, as it is now.
I mean, whatever you think of Zach, he's still better than the other guys they have on the roster at this point.
Jake Dalagala, yes, because that's their backup right now. So, I mean, it still has been, by the time the kickoff comes on Saturday, it'll be 728 days since Zach Collaros threw a touchdown pass at a playoff game.
Yeah, and we will get into that in a bit, but I think it was also, you know, it's interesting that you can clearly see, you know, this is the moment where, you know, there was the punt. There was the punt that led to the touchdown that tied the game before the half. Was that moment that we've seen a lot of times from this team. And it was clear that going through, you know, everything they went through in the regular season prepared them for that moment.
Yes.
Then this is why you need the ups and downs of a regular season to prepare you for a playoff game, because stuff is going to happen in a playoff game when both teams are giving 100% and leaving nothing on the field. Not to say they don't in the play in the regular season, but you know that it's at a different level in the playoffs.
No,
so things are going to happen. Things are going to happen against you, and you have to figure out how to bounce back. And it was good. Like that was, you know, as disastrous of a sequence of events that we've seen all year, quite frankly, and something that easily could sink a lot of teams in football. And instead, they got, you know, okay, the end of the half was maybe a little questionable the way they handled it, but going against that wind, when they took the knee around midfield, they still needed to get another like 30 yards to have a chance at a field goal. So
100%. And the last thing you want to, you know, you the BC's basically got the momentum from the touchdown there. You don't want to try a field goal into that wind and give them a real good chance at
the only thing I maybe would have considered is you just air it out and hope you get a flag.
Yeah. I mean, you can, but
maybe you attempt that, but it wasn't the end of the world, I think. And, you know, it wasn't worth using timeouts in that situation or a timeout to try and save some time to get a few extra plays in to get down there. I just, you know, they made a decent run at it. It didn't work out, c'est la vie.
But even to me, that shows the maturity this coaching staff of this team has learned, right? They know that, okay, we just got punched in the mouth. You don't have to punch back right now.
No. The game was still tied at that point, so.
100%. But I mean, and I really think this team, especially early in the season, may have tried to counterpunch immediately rather than going, okay, this wind is bad. This is not a great situation. Let's just get out of here without doing any more damage. And you're right. They tried a couple things. You get a little busted coverage. You know, things can always happen. But to me, I liked going conservative. And you know me, I never like going conservative. I liked going conservative right before the half, right? And just not allowing anything else bad to happen to you and come out and punch him in the mouth in the second half. The other thing, too, and this is something we discussed actually with Greg from Piffles a little bit, was, you know, why is Peter Godbert not starting?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we kind of came to the consensus that maybe he's 90% or maybe you just don't want to fix what ain't broken. But the second that
the rookie right tackle, the rookie left tackle who started every game this year.
Exactly. So he goes down and instantly, you know, Peter Godbert is like lining up, getting warmed up to play center. Right. So I liked, you know, originally
the theory worked out. I mean, to me, it felt like a little bit of overthinking, but it wasn't like an end of the world decision. Like, I mean, I had far more concerns about Amari Henderson playing corner in that game.
Yeah.
Luckily that didn't turn into a thing, but you know, it's, you know, the decisions were there. It was a strongly played game as well. The one thing that I think, you know, that we can take from this, and we have to talk about that they could do better, and we've talked about this a few times, is just putting together the drive when they need it. Like, yes, they had that great drive. Once they got the wind in the fourth quarter, it was like four plays. They were in the end zone in no time. And you thought, okay, they've got control of this now. And then you talked about it. They made the brilliant call to go for two because they were already up seven. And there was some discussion amongst reporters about, oh, well, it's, you know, do you go for one? Do you go for two? Because they obviously made the decision to go for two. And it was obviously, in my mind, the right call to make, because you make 100%. It a two-possession game. Seven or eight's one possession either way. And the two-point convert isn't necessarily as difficult as people think it is. Nope. So I don't think there's really any big advantage to making them go for two on a touchdown instead of having to get the ball an extra time.
Right.
And that really turned out to be very important, because when the Riders got the ball back with about 8:30 to go, They promptly went 2-0.
Yep.
Gave BC the ball back. BC drove down and didn't eventually, I don't think they really did anything on that drive. They got the ball. Riders got the ball back with about 3 minutes left after that. They were able to kill another buck 30 from there. You would have maybe liked a little bit longer of a drive, but by the time the Lions got the ball back with around a buck 30 left, you're like, okay, I mean, this is the CFL. Stranger things have happened, but are they really going to get two more possessions? Probably not. And exactly. That was because of that decision to go for two earlier in the game.
Yeah, which was absolutely brilliant. Like, because it almost mitigated, and you said it in the bad of your article this week, it almost mitigated that their lack of ability to, you know, take that long, plodding drive.
Like at that 8:30 moment, in a perfect world, yes, you would absolutely love to see them score a touchdown there and just bury them and end that thing.
Right.
Like, no question about it. I'm sure that's what they intended to do. That was obviously what they wanted to do. It didn't work out. But at the very least, in those scenarios, you'd like to see them go on a bit of a drive, at least maybe get, you know, just over midfield, and you maybe attempt a field goal, or you have a punt and you bury them in the corner or something. Yeah. And given the way, and we've talked about this many times, given the way the clock actually operates in the CFL, you don't have to run a lot of plays to kill everything down to basically the 3 minute warning at that point.
Right.
Which would have left the BC Lions in a very precarious situation, you know, with say they get down, you know, they end up coffin corner kicking them and they're stuck with maybe at the 3 minute warning, having to get the ball twice while starting at their own like five or something.
Right. There's... And you said it best that you can get away with it against BC.
Mm-hmm.
You can get away with it in the regular season at times, but you're not going to get away with it against Winnipeg, right?
No, like you play the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who right now are by far the most battle-tested, championship-proven team in this league. Like, they're not going to be fazed by that.
No.
They could be down 10. Of all of a sudden, they're down 10, 8:30 to go. You go 2-0 and give them the ball back. They're like, okay, here we go. We're going to go win this game now.
Well, and you look at that. They played, to me, one of their worst games of the entire season. And this is a team that started with a real rough start. They played one of their worst games of the season against Montreal and still have the confidence. And again, little aid from Mother Nature to go out and win that game. Right. Like,
yep.
Like the game winning kick. A lot of teams, you know, they panic and maybe the kicker overextends. Nah, Sergio just goes up and strokes through a 55 yarder in the rain. Right. So. You said it best. You can get away with that against BC, but not against Winnipeg. Now, the question, and this was brought up on the post-game show, is listening to our friends, Dave, Luke, and Justin Dunk on the CKRM post-game show while I was doing dishes last night. Dave and Luke, and I'll leave this question to you. Dave and Luke were in the BC actually played pretty well camp.
Yeah, I thought they played fine.
Justin Dunk thought they played like garbage and gifted the Riders a win. I was with Dave and Luke. I thought, like, even if you read JC Abbott's article that basically says, like, yeah, they didn't allow any real big chunk plays. You know, it's not like there was a 70-yard receiving touchdown. Special teams.
There was the opening drive, the 50-plus yarder or whatever. But that was more that was more of a blown coverage. Like, short, that was in the box. That screwed up, not downfield. So
yeah, exactly, right? So... I don't even think I get it. Vernon Adams, and this was Dunk's argument, was Vernon Adams threw, you know, three picks, but I thought they beat a good, I thought BC played good, but not good enough, as Dave Thomas put it. And the Riders were able to elevate their game rather than playing down to them, which again is a habit that this team has had. So it seems like the team is relatively healthy.
Yep.
I know Corey May said post game. Yeah, guys are, I mean, it's the end of a football season. Everybody's banged up everywhere. Right.
For sure. Yep.
But yeah, it was good to see them not play down to, you know, some of BC's struggles, to instead just, hey, we're going to play our game. We're healthy. We're playing the best ball we've played all year, and we're going to try to continue doing that next week.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's probably a bit of both, if we're being honest. Like, I don't think the BC Lions played well enough to win, and they didn't. They did some things that obviously helped the Riders, but I think the Riders did some things that helped them stay in it as well. So I don't think the Lions played the worst game they've ever played. Like, they played far worse the last time they were here.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So I don't know if I would say the Lions gave them the game. I think the Riders are certainly, you know, I think they deserve credit for the win, but yeah, the Lions played their own sort of role in how poorly they played as well. And I wouldn't expect that out of the Bombers next week, quite frankly.
The Bombers aren't going to move away from Brady Oliveira if the Riders great run defense stops them on the first four or five attempts.
No. And it'll be, the West Final is going to be very interesting because yes. I don't know which way I'm leaning yet. I believe the Bombers are probably going to win. Like, if you had to made me make a bet right now, I'd probably lean towards the Bombers. Just because home field experience, all that sort of thing. But I can't rule out the Riders. Had the Lions found a way to win this game, I think we would all be pretty heavily favored on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at this point.
Yes, 100%.
I think the Riders will be a difficult out for the Bombers. I think even though they lost the Banjo Bowl, I think it was important for this team to be able to go in there and show that they compete. Not necessarily that for, you know, for them, for like the fans or for anything like that. I think for themselves.
Yes.
To know that, okay, we've been in this environment. We came here once already, and it was a pretty close game. And there are players on this team that have gone into that stadium for that game for a few years in a row, and it was not a close game.
No.
So the fact that they went in there and had a chance to win and it just didn't work out, I think gives them room for optimism to say that, hey, we can go in here. We know it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. We have to probably play pretty close to perfect football, but we do have what it takes to win this football game. I don't think there's any doubt the Riders have a shot in this game.
And like all Fraser Curse jokes aside, like, I know traditionally this is where I say, oh, no, they're going to win in a landslide to try to invoke the Fraser curse because I can't pick a football game right because of my curse.
Yeah.
I honestly believe the Riders are going to win this game. And I get it. Winnipeg has experience. Winnipeg has all things. But I brought it up earlier, and I did the math on this as we were getting ready to record. Zach Collaros has not thrown a touchdown pass in 728 days. Okay? The Riders have arguably the best run defense in the league. You look at what they did to Standback. They basically took Standback out of the game and put it in the hands of Vernon Adams Jr. And Vernon Adams Jr. is 10 times the quarterback Zach Collaros is right now. VA can escape the pocket. He can do things that make secondaries have to guess. If you take Brady away, that's how you beat Winnipeg. And unlike other years, Winnipeg has typically had some packages in the playoff games that you haven't seen before, right? They've got, look at the Grey Cup they won in Calgary. They went extremely Strevler heavy. They had Strevler throwing the ball, you know, they had Andrew Harris. They basically said, okay, we're going to do some different things that you haven't seen before. And they don't have that ability because Chris Strevler's out and you know what you're getting out of Brady Oliveira. And it's just, and I don't even think, and this literally pains me to say it, like Sergio can make nukes from anywhere. You know, I love the person as a human being. He is my favorite player in the CFL these days for a wide variety of reasons. But Brett Lowther, unless he's playing Montreal, has been so damn good this year. Mm-hmm. I don't see a spot outside of the intangibles. Like, to me, I like Saskatchewan's offense more.
There's no question over the last handful of weeks, as Trevor Harris came back from injury and became more comfortable in what they were doing offensively and got himself up to speed again, there's no question that the Riders' offense is moving the ball more effectively in a more efficient, sort of consistent way than the Bombers are.
And different ways, too. You look, you know, with their ability to basically scratch Lanier and bring out the two American running backs,
The Lanier thing is he got passed by some other guys, and we saw it in that game when Caleb Sanders... Yeah. A defensive lineman chased down VA.
Yeah, that was unbelievable, right? But, I mean, that's the athleticism. I mean, you're telling me that Caleb Sanders isn't going to do that to Zach Collaros, who's a statue these days, right? So, to me, I honestly think that in all three aspects of the game, Saskatchewan has the edge. And especially this season.
I don't know if I agree on defense, but...
In terms of the matchup, I would say... I think if we're talking... Which unit would I rather have for 18 games in playoffs? Yes, I'm taking the Winnipeg unit. But in terms of a matchup, the Riders are great at stopping the run. And if you take the run away from Winnipeg, you're going to eat Zach Collaros up, and it's going to be another... I'm going to then get to say, well, it's been 1,070 days next year when we come to playoff time. So
yeah, but the thing is, in both the Banjo Bowl and the Labor Day Classic... Brady didn't rush for anywhere near 100 yards, and they still won both those games.
Right.
And the thing is, we know Zach Caleros is very effective against zone defense.
Yes.
And so the key is going to come down to, I think, the biggest thing that has to happen in order for the Riders to win this game is they have to find a way to get pressure on Zach Caleros with four.
Yep.
You mix in some blitzes, you do different things, you mix it up, you give him different looks and try all of that. But at the end of the day, these are two teams that know each other very well.
Yes.
Like, I don't think the Bombers really had to spend a whole lot of time game planning for this from a Rider perspective. Like, these teams should know each other very well at this point. They have the advantage of being able to watch the Rider playoff film to see if there's anything they're doing differently. That's what they earned by winning the division and getting to host the West Final. But it's basically going to come down to, the end of the day, this is going to be mano-a-mano. Riders 4-man defensive linemen, can they get to Zach Caleros without extra help too often? Because you start blitzing too much, Zach's just going to pick apart. And if you don't get through, Zach's just going to start picking apart as well. Because as much as Rider fans hate it, Corey Mace has run this, this zone defense that Ben doesn't break forever. It's not going to suddenly change in the West Final. So that's pretty much what it comes down to. And I don't know.
I
think the Bombers secondary may be the best in the league. So it kind of flip flops in terms of what team is good at defense here. The question is, which is more troubling for the opposition quarterback?
I haven't seen anything out of Zach Caleros dating back to the 2019 Grey Cup that has ever made me think, okay, put it in his hands. Like, that's how Winnipeg, let's face it, if it's not for Sergio, they lose in Hamilton, or they lose against Hamilton in Hamilton. Yes.
Yeah.
It's just teams have figured out to put it in Zach's hands. And I'm hoping, because I will admit, in watching more Bomber football, as the team has gotten a little less run reliant, which is still wild to me that Milligan is not the MOP nod over Brady. But that's a whole other argument for another day, that Zach has played much better.
Yep.
He has been a lot better.
I mean, he had a career high in passing yards this year.
He did. And it seems like he's not holding on that extra second. It's like he realizes now his lines, and it's like that adjustment through the season has been, okay, my line's not what it used to be. I now need to make my reads quicker. Will benefit him greatly, but I'm just still, again, my hopes are on a guy that hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 700 plus days in a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, like the Bombers winning the West Final, that streak has to end eventually as well.
Well, that's, it's almost an inverse that I think if the Zach streak ends, the Bombers are going to the Grey Cup, while if the Zach streak doesn't end, the five West Finals or the five Grey Cups in a row is done. It's cooked.
Maybe. I don't know. It's going to be a fascinating game to watch. Like, I thought from a purely entertainment perspective that the West semifinal had a chance to be the best game of the playoffs. I think in terms of intensity, in terms of chess match, in terms of, all of the sort of that other stuff, that's going to be this West Final. Like, I don't expect that we're going to see like a 42-40 kind of game here.
No.
If any team gets to 30, that team is probably going to win this game. But well, I would be surprised if either team gets that many points.
And nor do I expect it to be just a snooze fest like that Ottawa-Toronto game with, Toronto hanging a 50 burger, right? Like, this is going to be good football. It's going to be dramatic football. And again, it's what the West playoffs are every year. Now, let's just hope that whoever comes out of this game isn't so beat up that they get beat by Toronto. If anybody loses to Montreal, I don't care. Go ahead, lose to the Owls, make it back-to-back. Cody can drop a bunch of F-bombs again. We're all going to love it again. Just please don't let the Argos make the Grey Cup and win.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.